There we go. I'm very slick and professional. That's why you love me. That's why you're sending me out, isn't it? Welcome. It's really great to see you here this morning. I was rather shattered last night, actually, because yesterday I was with Nicola helping host a conference over in Amersham, where we had 200 to 300, I can't remember how many now, missionary women gathered in one room to seek God and to look at his word. And what a blessing it was to see people from the front line of mission coming together. They might be in Whitechapel in East London, they might be in Uganda, Rwanda, wherever they might be, gathered together. And we just saw God just show up in such beautiful ways. And God really challenged my heart yesterday of that we can get used to the things of God. Do you get what I mean? That you can go on a conference and you know, X, Y, Z, this is what's going to happen. The coffee time's 11:30. Brilliant. Well, Nicola came over. Nicola, if you know her, is a wonderful woman of God. She's one of my mentors, and I just love just drawing from her. And I was leading a session, and she just said, I think God wants to do healing. Can you call people up for healing? So we did. If I'm honest, I called him up for healing, but just thinking, I don't know if he really will. That's my honest opinion. And so there's this bunch of people having healing ministry over there. And God told me, Lydia, why are you surprised by this? When people start coming back reporting of how God's healed them. And so I want to encourage you today to be refreshed in the things of God. To never have your expectations where you put them, but always have your expectations put in God, because he completely blew my mind again yesterday of seeing people whose legs weren't working, then they were working. Someone who was crippled with migraines, having a migraine completely lifted off of them, and just so many other healings that we'll get the full testimony back and I'll share them with you. But that was my encouragement from yesterday, was to look for the things of God. We have it printed on our door. Nothing is impossible for God. Let's live by that. But anyway, today we're talking about Psalm 23. And this is a great psalm. It's a famous psalm, isn't it? You can ask anyone, any funeral visit I do, I say, what scripture would you like? And then they want to impress the vicar that they know a scripture. So it's often, Psalm 23. And they're like, oh, I knew a scripture. And Psalm 23 is quite a well-known psalm. It's the psalm of the marketplace, if you like. It's what everybody knows. But actually, we shouldn't get so familiar with this psalm that it's just like, oh yeah, he leads me beside still waters. There's something really of depth and of value in this psalm, because the line we're talking about today is, he restores my soul. That is amazing. Jesus, the good shepherd, restores our soul. And we today here, following on from Easter, where we've celebrated this new life that we've discovered in him. We've discovered who God is, that he's this God that came to die for the sins of the world. And we begin to discover who we are, that because of that, we now have an invitation to become children of God. And at Easter, we discover all this amazing news, don't we? But we don't always stay at Easter Day. We then have a journey to walk. We have a journey to walk of discipleship. If you like, Easter Day is the wedding day. It's when the covenant is made. It's this amazing invitation into a lifelong journey with Jesus, our God. And then discipleship is the marriage. That now we've got a way to walk out. We can't always stay in the place, can we, of like, I'm a child of God. We stay there, but now God's like, now you've got to walk like a child. We have a marriage to walk out. We have a way of life to walk out. You know my story. Some of us were gently warmed by God and came into a relationship with him. Some of us were radically saved. And I was one of those ones where it was death into life in a moment. But as I left that place, that wasn't job done. I now had a marriage with Jesus to walk out that was going to take work, was going to take effort, and was going to take input. And we see this in this psalm today. In just the psalm before, in Psalm 22, we have David saying, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He has a life that he can't sense that ever presence of God. He can't sense that care of God. And then just later on in Psalm 23, he speaks of this care of this good shepherd that he has, that in this psalm he finds rest, refreshment, and restoration. He's discovered what it is to live with Jesus. He's discovered of what it is to live with the presence of God. And I love this psalm because it speaks of a God that will do a marriage with us, will live a life of covenant with us. And it's a covenant that will go in all the seasons of our life. It will go in the high times. It will come in the valley. It will come when we're hard pressed by the world around us, where we feel like everything is beaten down on us, and we have a Savior who prepares a table for us to feast upon and to feed upon. He's a God that goes with us in every season of our lives. So what does it mean then when he says, "He restores my soul"? What does he mean by this? Well, the soul is our innermost being. It's the bit we can't touch. It's the bit we can't quite get to. I love that Psalm 139, that he knit my innermost being together in the womb of my mother. The innermost being of us is that soul. It's that place where it's not a physical thing that's attached to us. It's our very inner being, that we don't have a soul, but we are the soul. We're the very innermost being of us. And the root word of this soul is nephesh, and it means life. It's where everything springs from. It's where life comes from. It's where our emotions come from. It's where our will comes from. It's where our thinking comes from. It's that innermost being. And that's the innermost part that God wants to restore. That so often we just want to restore the veneer of our lives. Oh, if I get this sorted, then I'll be okay. If I sort that out in my life, then I'll be okay. I see the world battling with it time and time again. If I go on a diet, then I'm going to feel all right about myself. No, you need your soul restored. If I do this, then I'm going to be better. We're so focused on the veneer, but God says, "I'm going for that innermost part. I've come to restore your soul." So it's that place of where we think and where we choose and where we feel. And it's that place that God wants to restore. It's our very appetite for the things of this life. I don't know if you noticed, but when you became a Christian, your appetite in life began to change. Yeah? The things that you wanted in life changed and become different. No longer interested in certain things, but you're thinking like my one was, I actually want to hang out with these people. My appetite began to change because God came for the sending of his spirit into my very being. He came to restore my soul, my appetite for the things of life. If we turn to Ezekiel 34, I'll get there in a minute. Ezekiel 34 and verse 16. It talks about the good shepherd. It says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to their own land of Israel from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by rivers and in all places where I live. Yes, I will bring them good pasture land on the hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed on the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the Sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who have strayed away, and I will bring them to safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. That's a promise of the Good Shepherd of God, that he will draw us back in and he will bind our wounds and he will restore us. But God isn't just about putting bandages on the veneer of our lives, of just making us appear like good, honorable Christians. But he comes for the very soul of us, to restore that very most innermost being for us. So he comes to revive us and restore us and bring us back to full life. And that can only happen through the saving of our souls. It doesn't come through religious works. It doesn't come through just attending this place. But it comes through the blood of the Lamb sanctifying us and restoring our souls. Our souls needed saving. We weren't born with a good soul. They needed saving. So, can our souls be damaged? Absolutely. Our souls can absolutely be damaged. Our minds can be damaged. The way we think can be damaged. Do you ever have the moments where you think, I just can't think straight. I just can't get my head around this. Our souls are damaged, where we can't think of the things of God. We can't get it together in our mind. Emotions, can our emotions be hurt? Yes. Absolutely, our emotions can be hurt. Our wills can be broken as well. Our appetite for the things of God can be broken. And so often when we don't deal with the soul damage in our lives, it will spring up in the most inconvenient time. I can be in the most holy moment, and there's some damage of my soul can come out. What was that? What am I thinking? What am I saying? Why am I feeling that way? It's because our very soul needs to be restored and healed. So how can we find restoration for our souls? Well, I could simply say, in the blood of the Lamb, on that cross is where our true restoration happens. To accept him as our Lord and Savior and to have his Holy Spirit pour in our lives is the beginning of the restoration process. But Psalm 23 does offer us a pattern. It offers us a pattern of rest and refreshment and then restoration. But if you can, in your Bibles, if you can turn to John 10, 11 to 18. Jesus talks about him being the good shepherd. Because what David in this psalm talks a lot about is about, it's very individualistic, isn't it? He leads me. He restores me. It's very individual. And that's how God often speaks to individuals in the Old Testament, that he fills certain people for certain tasks with the Holy Spirit. He only lifts up certain people. But the New Testament, everything that we see for the individual speaks to the corporate, speaks to us as the body of Christ. And he says this in John 10, 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know my Father, I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, not of this pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So this restoration of our souls doesn't happen in some individualistic corner with God, but it happens as a flock. It happens together. This restoration process was always to be in a family, to be in a flock, and to be together. This happens in the flock with the good shepherd. So as we look at this way of restoring our soul, I first want to say, God doesn't put you on a time out from the flock to go and get yourself sorted. And once you're sorted, now you can come back and be a good little sheep. It's always a time in with God. And he wants us to be restored within the flock, within the family. So even if you're listening online today and you're hiding at home because you need to get fixed or you need to get sorted, I want to say come back. Because it's within the flock, under the governance of the Good Shepherd, that we find restoration and that we find healing. And if you're here today and maybe in hiding behind a mask or a veneer, ashamed of what is actually going on in your innermost being, I want to say that this is the flock where you find restoration. This is the family that is governed by the Good Shepherd, and we find restoration together. So the first way together as the flock that we can find restoration that we see in Psalm 23 is he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now this can seem lovely, can't it? That he's I'm going to lie down in wonderful streams. Isn't the Christian walk wonderful? What I love it is that he makes me. Yeah? We try to train our puppy. Sometimes I have to make him sit down by the side of that road. Yeah, everybody else's dog, and they sit down. We have to be like, buddy, sit down. And that's what God has to do with us sometimes, doesn't he? He makes us take a Sabbath. He makes us lie down. But this doesn't mean that we rest in any places, but in green pastures. He makes us rest in the godly places of life. It doesn't mean that he makes us rest so we can watch the box set of whatever we're watching at the moment. That's not him making you rest. It can be good and true, but making you rest in the things that are godly. He's making me rest in fellowship. He might be making me rest in his word, that we need to rest in the godly places of our time. In 1 Kings, where we see that wonderful story, don't we, of that big mountaintop experience of where all the fire falls on the mountain. If we turn to that, actually, 1 Kings, because something really beautiful happens, where Elijah flees. So he's seen an amazing miracle of God, provision. And this is a moment sometimes where we see, where we're like in a high point in our life. Don't we feel the pressure to go even higher? Because society tells us that we do life like this, you get better and better and better. But actually the Bible tells us we do this. And God is absolutely okay with that. So Elijah's seen this amazing fire of God fall on a mountaintop. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be running away. I'd be wanting to run and Twitter it or something if he had Twitter. But and he runs away and he flees. And it says this, that Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judea, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and he slept under the broom tree. As he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, for the journey ahead will be too much for you. So he got up, ate and drank the food, and it gave him enough strength. Simplicity of resting in God. That we need to withdraw sometimes to find that resting place of God. And I simply on this just want to say, are you sleeping enough? Are you staying up watching TV too much when you need to sleep? Because that will help restore our souls. When you're tired, you don't think straight. When you're tired, your appetite isn't right. Are you resting in the things of God? Are you shaping your lives around this? And that's all I simply want to say on that, because we've done a lot on the Sabbath. We've done a lot on resting. Are we resting enough? Are we resting together enough as a family? And then he brings refreshment. He leads me beside still waters. Now the shepherd needs to take the sheep to a place where there's still waters. Why? So they can drink. So they can absorb as much hydration as they possibly can. And God leads us beside still waters where we can drink up the things of him. Jesus himself said that anyone who is thirsty, come and drink. Anybody whose soul is dried up and thirsty, we're to come and drink from the well of life that is Jesus. And we find refreshment in these things. And it's not rocket science, you know what I'm going to say. We find refreshment in worship. We find refreshment in God's word. We find refreshment in prayer. And we find refreshment in fellowship. Are we going for the refreshing of our souls enough? Or are we just hoping some podcast might do it for us? There's something that the sheep have to do to be refreshed. The shepherd can't do it all for you. So the first is this, are we finding refreshment in worship? It's in worship that our very souls are restored. It's not just a bit of entertainment to help pass the time at church, but we worship because it's good for our souls. Ephesians 5 says, the believers speak to one another in psalms and spiritual songs. I remember when Caitlin was first born, she had an allergy, so she just screamed all day. And it was a shock being a new mum. People say you don't get sleep. I didn't really know that you really don't. You really don't. And I remember just this baby just screaming day and night. And we'd moved to Bristol. It was quite new there. And some Christians came to visit me from our Connect group, some other mums who knew exactly what I was going through, came in my kitchen. Now, they could have gone for the veneer of what was going on. They could, we're going to pray for this baby to stop screaming. We're going to pray for your situation to change. And I'm just sitting there sobbing. And this woman, which I'm so in debt to, just simply began to sing a song of worship. And I hadn't sung worship for a long time because I was so busy dealing with my baby. And in that moment, we just sang worship. And I found a restoration in my soul that no help could have done, no advice could have done, no taking my baby for a walk around the block could have done. I needed the restoration of worship in my very being. It doesn't make sense to the world that when we're in a hard time, we're going to stand up and sing to our amazing God, because that's the very restoration I needed in my soul. She still screamed, but I found restoration in my innermost being. The word of God, let the word of God richly dwell in you, says Colossians. Are we just doing the tick list of our reading, or are we really allowing the word of God to richly dwell in us? If we want restoration of our souls, we need it completely renewing. I needed to write a new rule book in my life because my soul had learned a certain way to live. A certain way to be weathered in this life. I needed the word of God to come and teach my soul, this is how you live. The word of God cuts and it heals and it restores our very soul. It's so much more than just saying, oh yeah, I'll do my daily reading. It's the very healing, the very medicine that our souls need. And I want to ask you, are you taking your medicine daily? Because if you want a restored soul, you need the word of God alive in your life. The other is prayer. 1 Thessalonians says, encourage and build one another up in prayer. As the flock together, are we building one another up with the prayers? Praying over each other, encouraging one another in the things of his kingdom. I am... very early on, my good friend, she's here today actually, we were in a prayer triplet very early on in our discipleship walk together. And she knew the very damage of my soul, the very outworking of this damaged soul. And we was very honest and we was very open. But we built each other up in prayer. I could have just been honest before God about what's going on in my life. But something happened when I came before another sister in Christ and said, this is what I do, this is how I feel, this is what goes on in my life. And she built me up in the things of God. She prayed over me the word of God that restored my very soul. Are we praying for one another? Are we speaking into each other's souls that you're a child of God? You've been made for so much more. You are holy. Are we speaking the things of God that brings restoration to our soul? And the final one is fellowship. Do not neglect meeting together, says Hebrews. Fellowship is so much more than a quick coffee after church. This is why we do life groups, to do life together. That when we live and do life together in this fellowship, we find restoration. It says, have hospitality with one another. Because when you do, you entertain angels. You entertain heaven without even knowing it. If you want to see heaven on earth, as people say, let's get a prayer line, let's get this. No, let's have fellowship. Because when the believers come together to simply love one another and be with one another, we find this restoration of our very soul. I love that image of John at that meal where Mary did the crazy thing of bursting forth perfume over Jesus' feet. And I love that image of John just leaning back upon Jesus. He would have heard his very heartbeat. He would have felt his very breath. And that's an image for us as the flock, to have fellowship with one another, where we can hear the very life, the very breath of one another. So to find restoration is to have fellowship with one another. Because God in Psalm 71 says, He gives me life. And as the flock of Jesus Christ, He gives us life. And it's found in the simplicity of these areas of our Christian walks. Amen. So we've got a couple of minutes, and I'm going to invite Martin up to come and play. And I just sense, before we go into communion together and we go and pick the children up, if you're able, I want to encourage you to stand. As I said, God just isn't interested in sorting out the veneer of our lives, but the very core, the very place where the wellspring of life springs from. He wants to restore those places in our innermost being, in our souls. And we're going to just have a simple time of ministry time now. So when I was talking, you might have been sensing like, actually, yeah, there's an area in my life that I need restoring. I know my emotions aren't in a good place. I know my emotions are here, there, and everywhere. I know my will needs to be aligned with Jesus. I really want to do the right thing, but I just can't seem to do it. You need your soul restored by Jesus. So I simply want to invite people forward, and we've got the prayer ministry team around. As I simply wanted to invite you forward, if you know that you've got an innermost part of you that needs the hand of God today, and I just want to say as well, this is a lifetime work. You're not going to get it all fixed. It's a lifetime work. It's the day in, day out of allowing the Good Shepherd to lead you through life. But I want to encourage you now to come forward. There should be quite a few of you. I know I'd be there if I was, could go there. And I want to ask the prayer ministry team to come round. And there's just a couple of words of knowledge for people as well. There's a sense that somebody really wants to speak for God. you really want to speak the holiness of God. Now, this might be that you feel called to preach or teach, but you sense that there's just a blockage in you. You just can't get into the habit of reading the Word of God. You just can't get into the habit of even liking the Word. And I just sense that God wants someone to fall in love with the Holy Scriptures today. That you can't work it out how other people just want to read it all the time. You need your soul restoring. You need the appetite of God to come upon your soul today. So if that's you, where you just can't seem to pick the Word of God up, I want to encourage you to come forward today. And especially if there's people here today who really love the Word of God, I encourage you to come and pray for those people. Is anybody here who wants to fall in love with the Word of God? Just place your hand up if that's you. Be brave. We've got one over there, two over there. So if you love the Word of God, can you come and pray for these people just here? For their souls to be in love with the things that are good for them, for the Word of God. So if we have men on men and women on women. So we need some more women over this side, please, who are in love with the Word of God. So just pray over that.
Could we have quite a few more women to come and pray, please? That would be brilliant. Just come now if you are able to pray. It's particularly women. There's quite a few women who are up at the front here who need some prayer. So please come without hesitation if that's all right. Just come and lay hands on them and pray for them and bless them and say, "Come, Holy Spirit." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any more women who could come to pray? Thank you.